Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
It's Bud Pod 240. And now I'm joined here by Glenn Moore. Now, Glenn, Phil normally says a rhyme for the number.
Oh, what a way to fucking dump me in it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Phil never prepares one either. So I thought sure. I wanted to capture the same level of pausing.
What number episode is it?
240.
Oh, my God. 240. We're feeling pretty haughty.
That's good.
But are we? I mean, I don't think we're haughty to any extent.
Do you don't think? Do you? When? What makes you feel haughty?
Stop unbuttoning your shirt, boy. That sort of thing.
or more like, oh dear, you know.
Yeah, really gross.
Snobbery. It's kind of snobbish, isn't it? Haughtiness.
A snobbish prudishness, I think.
Yeah. Mm. That sounds good. Do you ever feel haughty?
No,
do
never.
I make you Do I make you haughty, baby?
Do I make you prudish, baby? Yeah.
You don't think you ever feel haughty. I think that's probably right.
No,
you're
not
quite
at all.
A down-to-earth guy.
Yeah. And in fact, if I was haughty, I would be shocked by Austin Powers, I think, you know?
Yeah, as opposed to admiring him.
Did I ever tell you this? There was a rumor when The Spy Who Shagged Me came out in cinemas. I think it was that one, the second one. So I would have been like, I don't know, 9 years old at school or whatever. There's this rumor going around, you know, at the beginning when he's single, so he's like dancing down the street naked and all this like strategically placed baguettes and salamis and stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
There was
yes.
like this rumor around my school that there was like an uncensored version where they just showed everything. And everyone at my school tried so hard to find that version. It's like we were nine.
Why?
What? What the hell? Everyone was so desperate to see Mike Myers' dick.
As though, like, if you ever found that, it wouldn't just be, like, the nude man, Mike Myers, doing
exactly,
some sort of,
yeah. Or would it be like The Ring? Maybe it's like The Ring and you get a phone call being like, you'll be horny in 7 days.
Well, and his penis just comes through your TV screen. Yeah. And sort of, it's not long enough to attack you. It's just there jutting out of the screen. I guess till you wank it off.
Yeah.
It's objectively worse for that to happen from your phone screen at night when it's really close to your face.
Yeah.
Whereas like living room television, you're quite safe, I suppose. Here's something that I often wonder. So with regards to things like Austin Powers and Ace Ventura.
Mm. Unwell men.
Yeah, this is it. So how is it that there was this period from like 1990 to 2000, roughly.
Mm.
When was Austin Powers number one?
Austin Powers, the first one was like 1997. And then the final member was probably like 2001, I think.
Fuck me, really?
Yeah.
So what was it about the 90s that meant that you could literally do huge blockbuster films with basically David S. Pumpkins?
Yeah, it's really strange. I can't really think of any actor now who'd be able to just do a film that's just a silly man. It just wouldn't happen now. And it was so specific. And I think people have tried to recreate that lightning in a bottle magic with the likes of Paul Blart Mall Cop. But it's just, you know, it hasn't paid off.
That's the thing, isn't it? Because Paul Blart Mall Cop is sort of like close to that. But the thing with Ace Ventura and Austin Powers is that they did impossible jobs that shouldn't have existed in a mad way that doesn't make sense. Whereas at least Paul Blart, it's a job that we know. You know,
well, Austin Powers still had like a realistic job, albeit one that like I can't imagine him torturing hostages.
Austin Powers being given permission to visit Guantanamo Bay by the Americans. Yeah.
I've got a rose between my teeth and a cyanide capsule. Yeah. Austin Powers being gravely informed by Michael York that he must take his own life if he's captured.
Tinker Tailor Soldier shagging.
Yeah, yeah.
A really tense, like, conversation-based drama of trying to figure out who is the mole.
Yeah.
And just one of the candidates is Austin Powers. And you just...
Well, it's him. It's him.
It's him.
It's the fancy. It's a fancy dress guy.
It's the guy with the wearing a sort of rough, kind of ruffled bib.
Did anyone dress like that in the '60s? He's dressed like Sergeant. He's dressed up with Sergeant Pepper's album cover.
Yeah, yeah. He was a sort of flamboyant. I mean, it's probably in the same way that like there were way more people into punk in the '70s than actually dressed like those guys who hang around Camden.
Yeah. Have you ever done your impression on the pod, by the way, of Punk Garden Centres?
Oh, I'm sure I've done. my impression of if a British punk band did a song about garden centres.
Yeah, you got to do it now. It's great every time.
It's a, you can buy a coffee and a cake, a shed and a rake. At the garden center.
Something about that voice is so ridiculous every time. Like, because you were told that when you were a kid, they were like, they're the meanest, nastiest people around. And then you watch them, and they're like, the queen is a silly lady.
I don't want to go to school, Mr. Prime Minister.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
I've heard that sentiment expressed before.
I always thought it was like, surely with punk, like the coolest thing, the most rebellious, like anarchic, most evil thing would be to like, they should be like warmongers.
Yeah, yeah.
They should
be
like, they should be like really into war.
Or like serial killers.
Yeah.
I don't like rules. And they just drive your car through a bus stop.
Yeah. Well, this happened. Mad. Obviously, this happened to Marilyn Manson. Like in his book, he'd like zhuzhed it up and made it like the workings of like an evil Dracula. So his autobiography was just these like fictionalized tales about how it sort of like, so we slew the prostitute sort of thing, you know. And when I think about the height of the Me Too movement, people were like posting passages of his book going, what the fuck is this? And he was like, no, I was being spooky. I was being spooky.
And then he's come a cropper even without the spookiness, and it's that.
Oh yeah, he's also a criminal. Let's not like that.
But it's that annoying thing where you go, I didn't want all those Midwest Christians to be right about Marilyn Manson.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I didn't want them to be right. I didn't want them to win the argument. To go, you see, it did mean something more than just expression.
Yeah, it's really annoying. They were stopping their kids from reading J.K. Rowling long before we were.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it, they were right.
But this is the thing, like, I think that's one of the reasons why, if you don't know, if you're listening and you don't know the David Pumpkin sketch, it's up there with one of the best SNL sketches ever.
Yeah, at the time it was on, I was like, I would watch SNL every week. I'd never find it funny, but I'd watch it every week just to be like, let's keep on track of what's actually sort of going, you know. I was just trying to ingest as much comedy as I could, and so it was really, I remember vividly watching that, like, the, you know, the morning after, so like a few hours after it had been sort of broadcast, and it was just, it was great at the time. It's still really funny now, but it's just so rare.
It's rare. I mean, have you seen that viral sketch going around about George Washington doing the measurements and things?
I'm not sure I want my opinions necessarily, but I'm not an opinionated person at all. But everyone was like, this is the greatest sketch of all time. And everyone's like, it's football, but you play it with your hands. And it was like, we're doing this in 2020? Okay.
Yeah, okay. I've seen credible people sharing that going like, this is a masterclass in comedy writing. And it's like...
Yeah, and it was like, what bit haven't you heard before?
And also like, there's all these long pauses in it that don't need to be there. And... the same jokes repeated about four times.
Yeah, SNL has the sometimes the timing of Eurovision host.
It's so weird because like they, so you look at something like Mitchell and Webb, like that Are We the Baddies Nazi sketch is like one of the biggest memes in the world now. More people know the meme than the sketch because it's such a good funny idea.
Yeah, do you reckon loads of people think it's from like Downfall?
it's documentary footage.
Yeah,
colorized.
David Mitchell gets like abuse on the street from Americans being like Nazi scum.
Yeah. Hey, I know that guy. But like, that Mitchell and Webb look had, what, 7 writers?
Yeah.
7?
But that was like their first album that they'd been developing from like a radio show in years, yeah, and stuff like that. You know,
I just think that SNL, when they've got like, you know, 50 writers culled from across the 350 million Americans and all these improv geniuses, and then they write these like windy 7-minute sketches.
I don't think it's their, I just don't think it's their decision. I know a few people who have written on SNL and they're so funny, and all their stuff since and before was really, really tight and stuff like that. I just don't think it's their decision. In the same way that, like, yeah, if ever we perform stuff on radio or TV, sometimes what we say isn't our decision.
That's true. Yeah, that is very true. I often find that, well, this is what's good about the internet.
Mod the Week, I wanted to be way more racist.
I know, I remember you saying.
You couldn't get, yeah.
You would leave me those rambling voicemails at 3 a.m.
They cut it out again.
Yeah. They say it's not acceptable, but is that truth? Yeah. A lot of that. That's
yeah,
true.
It was really difficult because on Spin the Wheel, Rivers of Blood kept going.
Scenes we'd like to see.
If it weren't for...
If it weren't for... Who? Spin the Wheel. I think that white nationalist Mock the Week would be a big success on YouTube, some corners of YouTube.
But I think that's what all the Bring Back Frankie YouTube commenters were like, thinking that's what Frankie Boyle used to do.
Yeah, they thought, bring back the one who said all the horrible things that I feel in my heart.
I had this at a gig when I was like brand new. I went to a gig in like Hemel Hempstead. And I was just about to go on, and I was maybe like 20 gigs in, which is nothing. And the guy running it was like, you know, I'm looking forward to your set tonight. He was like, I really want to do, you know, please do all the stuff the last time I saw you, do all your, you know, your sick in the head stuff. And I was like, I don't think. And it became apparent after a while, he was like, I've got you mixed up with someone completely different. He was so gutted, because also he'd been like teasing the audience, because he was hosting the gig and being sort of like, this guy, like, he just says the unsayable. It's like, and it was like, no.
Who was it?
I'm not going to say.
Oh, so you do know, though?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember the guy, okay. But it was okay. Just like, how I've been so horribly misbooked. You're going to be so disappointed. What a specific thing he wanted me to do.
Yeah, I love your sick in the head stuff.
Sick in the head.
Stuff that makes you
horrible.
Makes
it's like a tabloid headline.
It's something that you would say before walking away from someone who's done something. You're sick in the head. Like a really damning. But I think that's what's great about podcasts and the internet. Like the upside of it is that it does remove that kind of... when there is a bad pipeline between talent and the audience.
Yeah.
Whereas if that's... And I'm more than willing to believe it about SNL, that there's some lunatic producer or script editor or something just...
Because there has to be. There must be.
It doesn't make sense otherwise. And bearing in mind that anyone listening from the States, we're not doing that thing that Americans do, where the season of SNL they love the most is just the seasons that were on while they were in college.
No, because trust me, I found some episodes of like the Dan Aykroyd era. even watching topical comedy from like 6 years ago is just impenetrable anyway, especially when it's from a different country. It's like looking at American situation they were talking about in like the Will Ferrell, Kristen Wiig years is like unwatchable because you can't understand it. And all the punchlines are so interwoven with that. But the Dan Aykroyd stuff is like... I'm like, it's not really clear. It's a sketch show. I'm like, you're all smoking. Is this a book? Are you a? Is this show a book?
Yeah, and like 30 Rock did that great joke about it, where they've got one of the original writers of Brackets, not SNL, but really SNL, and it's like, it's just footage of a US mailbox falling over in the wind.
Yeah.
And it's like the mailbox was. You know, Spiro Agnew or something. And
yeah.
Goes, oh, right, yeah. Yeah, just impossible.
Yeah, it has to be. But, like, we're looking for a logical reason. We're wondering why there's blood in the urine. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's got to be something in the pipe.
Yeah.
It didn't get there some other way. You didn't drink blood, so it must be a problem.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so what is it, like,
Unless the unless the writer's room is a weird like a spell cast on it, and it's like, it's like a silent spell, and you sort of go and you go, I can't cast any spells. I can't. I feel I feel so slow. I must rest my head.
Do you think
you're sleepy? I must rest.
If we went into the writer's room of SNL with a glowing amulet, its light would dim and stuff.
Yeah.
Or there'd just be a leaking gas pipe on the wall, just carbon monoxide.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like my shows, it just makes us so sleepy.
Yeah, people were like, I don't know, when I stopped going to work in that building, I just was back to being my funny, hilarious self. Yeah.
Have you ever lived anywhere with a gas leak or a carbon monoxide issue?
No, not knowingly.
I did briefly in a student flat. Yeah, it was wild. It was like that and a combination of mold, but we'd all get home from... We'd all like just graduated. We'd all get back from work. We'd all sleep for like 14 hours.
And feel
so unrested. We wouldn't feel... It would be such a long and deeply unsatisfying sleep. Because when you hear that length of sleep, you go, my God, that must be incredible. You know Scott Gibson, the stand-up?
Yeah.
He did his first stand-up hour about the fact that when he was like 28, he had a stroke. And it made, and he was driving home and just went like blind in one eye. But because the stroke had affected him so much, he was like, I'm fine, I'll just go to bed. And he went to bed for, I think, like 24 hours, woke up, had like a mammoth piss, drank like 2 liters of water, and then fell asleep again for like another 20 hours. And all I kept asking him about it was, you must have felt amazing. And he was like, no, it was like I hadn't been asleep. It was like an anesthetic sleep. It wasn't like a good sleep. Yeah.
It's like the sleep of a sort of a tortured, cursed
It's King night. Theoden. King Theoden yes. sleep.
Yeah. You're covered in cobwebs when you wake up and all shriveled.
I found that so funny that he basically had cobwebs on him in the Two Towers, and he sort of go, all right, I understand that like Grima Wormtongue's in control here, but surely someone's job is to clean the king.
Yeah, that's
why are you letting him? I'm not trying to get involved in domestic or foreign policy. Let me wash him. That's it. I'm not gonna whisper anything in his ear. Just please let me wash the king. He looks disgusting.
Why would you lay this cloth upon an already filthy head? Do you think also like it's in Grima Wormtongue's interests to make it seem as much like that's not what's happening as possible?
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's like he should be doing a weekend at Bernie's. King Theoden just looked normal but wearing sunglasses.
Or at the very least,
he looks like if they did a weekend at Bernie's sequel where 6 weeks on, they're still trying to keep up the charade.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's got like really like crispy sort of skin, like he's looked into the Ark.
Yes, and like they've just painted like two red circles on his cheeks. And the really crude, like cheerful, I'm awake, like makeup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if I was Grima Wormtongue, I'd be like, is there a version of this curse that doesn't turn his skin grey?
Yeah, yeah.
This feels like a bit of a giveaway.
Subtle curse. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, so here's a question.
Yeah.
Would I have kissed
Theoden if I was Grima Wormtongue? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
would I have had my way with King Theoden? Was that going to be the question?
Yeah, would you have used mind powers to fuck the king of... No. Here's my question.
All right.
We're talking... we mentioned the people like characters like Ace Ventura and Austin Powers are these like out of nowhere characters like David Pumpkins in that sketch, where it's like they're so boldly put forward that as a member of the public you think, oh, there must have been a book or a cartoon.
It's based on a magazine, yeah.
And there just wasn't. It's not an adaptation, it's just a weird, silly man that someone has come up with somehow.
Yeah.
Okay, what would you pitch now? We're trying to revive the era of sui generis, out of nowhere, silly men.
Okay, right, so...
Professor the Clumps maybe was the last one?
Yeah, but... I mean, but that was based on like a 1950s film.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even that
I'd
then.
Say there's a guy... starts off generic, regular guy, and his name's like Stan, and he goes by the river and he finds a wooden mask...
Yes.
And when Stanley puts on the mask, he becomes really racist. He's horrible. He's a really unpleasant guy. Really far right stuff. He's like he's like reinstating Tommy Robinson on Twitter and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's just so zany. It'd be such a good horror version of something like The Mask, like The Nutty Professor, where you go, well, Buddy Love is really charismatic and stuff like that, but every time he wakes up, there's a dead person in his room, and he's like, oh, my God.
Well, what about a version of The Mask where... Because the thing that's unusual about The Mask is that when Stanley Thingy becomes him, Stanley Ipkiss, people who he interacts with are also drawn into cartoon physics.
Yeah, and they're also not really weirded out by him. Now,
Well,
I'm colorblind and didn't find out until I was about 15 that he's green, but his face is green. I was aware he obviously had a different shaped head than Jim Carrey.
I just thought,
and so when I found out, oh, he's green, I was like, why didn't anyone else react to the green? Why?
No one mentions it.
No, everyone's fine with it.
Because you would have seen it as a kind of light brown.
It was just like his previous skin color, kind of.
Yeah, like
genuinely, I saw no difference in Jim Carrey's
light,
skin tone.
It's very light green. So like a light brown skin tone kind of thing, just like a weird head. He must have looked like the guy from Red Dwarf to you.
Yes, exactly that. That's exactly what it was like. Yeah, those two were basically interchangeable.
That's kind of more horrible. Fleshy, big head.
But when he puts on the mask, he just loses his skin.
He goes all smooth and
And that
cranky.
Makes him sexy.
And that makes him funny and interesting. That's horrible. But what if a version of the mask, but the people around him, they aren't drawn into the cartoon physics. So when he hits them with a big cartoon... sledgehammer, they are just crushed to death in like bone and bristle. Instead of becoming an accordion and going, and sort of like bouncing.
Yeah, when he's like, a Tommy gun, and then just riddles these guys with bullets in a back alley, and he's like, what have I done? I'm in Manhattan. I can't. There's police everywhere.
I'm in Manhattan, and I've murdered a gang of seven youths in a kind of an attack that will make people think that 1930s bootlegging wars are coming back.
Yeah. It's like a Valentine's Day massacre sort of thing.
Yeah, and then it would be a lot more sympathetic to the kind of embattled policeman who's failing to catch the mask. As viewers, we'd be like, fuck, you need to get him.
Yeah, before this, I was just tracking a guy's little snippet of pajamas I have. This was fun. It was a fun case.
It would be like Silence of the Lambs level horrible. Like, we've got a time limit.
Wasn't he a great big green person?
Yeah, basically, it's Buffalo Bill tucking his dick and balls in and dancing to jazz. Copacabana. Like, it's the same song from The Mask. Would you stop me? I'd stop me.
There was a kid in my school who was so gravely influenced by The Mask he would be like really unruly at school, and then when the teachers would try and stop him, he'd go, somebody stop me, and he'd move his arms up to the side to sort of give him an extra like speed boost, and he would then burst into tears every time, because of the fact that he hadn't sped away, because he was still there. And he was like,
pew!
Yeah, because he was like, I was meant to turn into a tornado. I was meant to...
Yes, yes, or be a perfect shape of me, but of dust that blows away.
Yeah, he was, and he would just get so frustrated every time. And this went on for ages. This went on for ages. And I remember him once saying that I think he was going to see... He'd never seen the first Ace Ventura, and they were going to see the second one. And me and my friend, everyone in my class was like, you can't, no. You're not another one, not another one, you can't.
You can't restart this.
You can't, yeah, exactly. It's like somebody just goes from one bad relationship to another, and you go, this is a bad guy, man. He's not good for you.
How, okay, so how did somebody stop him?
He got killed by 20 penguins that he later collected about 15 years ago after watching Mr. Poppers. It was, how it's done.
Have you seen Mr. Poppers Penguins?
Why would I have seen Mr. Poppers Penguins? It came out like 6 years ago or something. It's not, there's no reason we would have seen it even
a much longer time ago than that.
Do you reckon?
No. Mm.
20, I don't know, maybe like 10 years ago?
I'm going to guess 2010.
What do you reckon, aside from, we know it's about Mr. Popper and he's got, and there are penguins, what do you reckon it's about?
Fucking hell. I remember a shot from the trailer of him and the penguins at an ice rink.
Mm-hmm.
So I reckon it's like he either wins a competition or it's in like an eccentric relative's will and he has 20 or 30 penguins forced upon him.
So it's 101 Dalmatians, but...
Yes. That's what
I feel like the villain would be so much more gross. The person who wants to skin and make a coat out of penguins.
Yeah. And the coat would just stink.
Yeah. I remember that was probably the same rough era of Jim Carrey's career as like number 23. So in my head, those films are interchangeable. He's surrounded by penguins and the number 23 is scored all over his face.
Yeah, he's got 23 penguins.
Yeah.
And it's made him ill.
Oh, the idea as well of marketing the number 23 as being this dark psychological thriller, and Jim Carrey in the poster had like the number 23 all over his face. He was simply the worst person to cast in that film when he's already known from Liar Liar as being in a hilarious scene where he's written all over his face.
Yes, that's true. That's what, all it brings
why
to
did
mind.
They think that would be a good marketing strategy? Let's remind everyone of the most hilarious. It's ridiculous. It's like when Robin Williams was going through sort of like insomnia and like 1 hour photo.
Yes,
if 1 hour
photo, yes.
He had like huge burn stains over where his boobs would be from Mrs. Doubtfire. You go, oh, Mrs. Doubtfire.
You go, oh, this is the same guy.
Yeah. And they go, no, he gets killed because he gets burnt on his nip. It's the torch. Oh, never mind.
He's driven mad by the pain of the burns on his tail.
Yeah.
I've got the Mr. Poppers wiki page up here.
Oh, great.
I'm going to have a look. Okay, it's 2011. I was 1 year off.
Wow.
Whoa.
So do you reckon they used that to mark 10 years since the September 11th attacks, or?
It was to raise money for something to do with that.
Yeah.
It was to raise money for SEAL Team 6 to get a new stealth helicopter so that they could kill Bin Laden. It's got 3 screenplay writers, so that's more than I'd have thought.
I think the worse the film, the more screenwriters, up to a maximum of 4.
That's true. It's got Angela Lansbury in it, which I did not know.
Okay.
Okay, so in the opening flashback, Mr. Popper, Thomas Popper Jr.
Oh, so he's got a first name. Okay, all right.
Little Tommy Popper.
Mm-hmm.
His dad travels around the world and he doesn't see him a lot and they communicate through shortwave radio. I don't know how that's going to come up. In the present day, Thomas Popper is now a divorced real estate entrepreneur. They're always divorced.
Yeah, this sounds like someone who could only communicate with his dad by radio.
Through radio.
He's got the lifestyle of someone who had difficult communication issues with their dad.
He's a divorced real estate entrepreneur, father of 2 kids. He gets home from work and learns his dad has died during an Antarctic adventure. And as per his will, oh, I got it. I fucking knew it. Has left him with a souvenir from his adventures in Antarctica. The following week, a crate containing a Gentoo penguin named Captain appears at his door. And so it's just one penguin. Oh, no, then there's some kind of miscommunication, and then he gets five more penguins. Okay.
So many kids' films deal with the death of a relative. Like, not the death of a relative, because you can understand like, the Lion King teaching kids about that. But the will. The will and testament of a relative.
Yeah.
In a way that wouldn't make sense to a child. Or just loads of legal stuff. I found Liar Liar so funny as a kid. But looking back, it's not in any... The plot is impossible to... I didn't know a lawyer was.
Yeah, and also I never picked up until I watched it with an awkwardly younger sibling of an ex-girlfriend.
Hmm.
How much fucking and talking about fucking there was in it.
Yeah, it was about an affair. Wasn't the case about an affair?
Yeah, and at one point they play a tape recording of like really sexual fuck noises in the courtroom, and it's got crucial evidence.
Oh, I hate the idea of non-sexual fuck noises.
Yes. Yes.
Just documentary narrative. I anytime I revisit, purely by accident, like a kid's film I sort of enjoyed when I was a kid, my entire perception has changed.
Yeah.
To the extent that I'm like, I no longer... I'm on Tim Allen's side in The Santa Claus. I'm on Jim Carrey's side in Liar Liar. When they're sort of like... You didn't go to the kid's violin recital, and you go because he's at work.
He's busy.
Do you want to? It's at 2 p.m. on a weekday. Do you want to keep going to this school or not? I have no sympathy for the child who's like, Dad didn't come to my play in the afternoon. Yes. Okay. Where's the twist?
Why is the school organizing it for this time?
Yeah, why are there hundreds of... This looks like a really posh school. Why are there hundreds of other parents in the audience? What are their fucking jobs?
Yeah, the school has a full theatrical rig.
Oh, man. School plays in films are the highest budget things I've ever seen. They're, like, astonishing. Even the one in... Even when they try and do a low-key version, like in Love Actually, for the British audience.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never seen a West End production... Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is nothing on the fucking nativity scene they do.
Have you ever looked up how big some American high schools are? Because that's the only way it makes sense, is that they just go, okay, this high school has as many pupils as a British university.
Yeah, my idea of American schools is taken purely from Die Hard with a Vengeance, where there's that bomb threat on that school, and the images they show of that school, it is the biggest building I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, it's like the British Library. Three times. It's like no windows, just this huge granite slab. Where you'd imagine in like a dystopian novel to be sort of like the Department of Information or something like that. Yeah. That's what
Yes, exactly. Like. Yes, the Learning Zone. Exactly. The Enlightenment Center. It also only ever makes sense to you when you learn that, like, when you're a kid, I would watch... I mean, my school was tiny, even by UK standards, but because it is a countryside private school, fancy little pants, country, middle of nowhere school. And when I watched those movies, I was like, what do you mean you don't know who the other kid is?
Wow, okay.
It's like, the idea of there being kids in your year that you didn't actually at least know the name of is still alien to me.
I had that.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I'm even more removed from that shit.
Wow. Yeah, but we had like 150 people in our year or so at school.
Yeah, yeah.
It's mad. It's like I can't think of 150 names.
But was it nice because in the sense of like you could sort of swim a bit anonymously through that stream?
Yeah.
You'd have to work to stand out to be negative.
You would have to shit yourself at every party you went to. To be known as that, and even then, you'd be competing against someone who's like really hot on your heels.
I think that I would have preferred that in the sense that because I was in this tiny, tiny environment, everyone.
In my head, you were your height now, so you were like, Robert Wadlow, the tallest guy ever. When you see him sort of like holding on to the top of lampposts as he's walking past,
oh, I just overlook them.
Yeah,
but it was like impossible for you to keep quiet. You were Billy Madison.
Yeah, exactly. A hand in the. Can I go to the bathroom? Like giant child. But yeah, I think that would have been better because I think you find your own crowd in that big. It's easier to be a big fish in a small pond, but it's easier to be a big fish in a small pond in a bad way when it's a small pond.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
One fuck up and that's it forever.
You don't. Yeah, you have another nickname. My God, at school. A teacher accidentally, just slip of the tongue, called me Blen. And for a year, I was then called Blen. And it was like, what could I have done differently there? Nothing.
Blen.
There was nothing I could have done. That was forced upon me because of someone else's fucker. It's so infuriating.
Blen is an insane error to make.
Blen.
There's no name.
It was like Blen, Glen, and you go blur, like Blenheim. Blenheim is all I can think of. Blenheim.
Yeah, I mean, and also when the teacher goes, yeah, Blen. Oh, sorry, Glen. You can feel the magic, like through the brains of everyone in the class.
I felt my life change in that moment.
Yeah,
it was. It was just like, what have you fucking done? What have you done?
Yeah. I can't think of any. Yeah. Blenheim Palace. Paul Blart. Maybe they were thinking of Paul Blart Mall Cop. That's the only other name I could think of.
He didn't even exist back then. I'd love to know what the character of Paul Blart is, apart from his job.
Yeah.
Because obviously, Ace Ventura is a pet detective, but outside of the detective side of it, he's got a very fully formed personality. Do you reckon he has a qualification as a regular detective?
Yeah, do you
think he dealt with crime scenes before?
Should we do an origin story where it's Ace Ventura, but he dresses like normal and he's just dealing with harrowing murders?
Yeah, it's like Seven.
Yeah, yeah.
And in walks John Doe at the end. Pet detective. Pet detective. Pet detective.
The box has got like a dead cat in it or something. Yeah, that's what changes him. He just goes, I can't work with humans anymore. It's too fucked up. It's insane.
Yeah, and Morgan Freeman's this like really like grizzled old pet detective who's just seen obviously countless dogs die over the decades that he's worked.
This job changes you. Like, and he's wearing like, he's got the level of gravitas that Morgan Freeman has in Seven, but yeah. He's wearing exactly the clothes we know Ace Ventura to wear now.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. But is that like
big,
under the
high-waisted stripy pants, Hawaiian shirt, white shirt, t-shirt?
Do you reckon they made that character with like fancy dress parties in mind?
Yeah,
I just don't
know
where it came from. It's so weird.
I would pay a lot of money to have access to just like the notebook that they used to conceive of this. Because it'd be like inventing a new musical instrument now.
But he wasn't. It can't have been made in one meeting. In the same, like, I firmly believe. Like, I'd love to be in the room where they pitched Mr. Blobby for the first time, because I know that Mr. Blobby was not the work of one pitch. It wasn't the work of what it can't have been.
No, because it would have been too much of a risk. There's no collective responsibility there.
It would drive me insane. It would drive me insane if we went back in time and the person was like, so his name's Ace Ventura, he's a pet detective, and they just list it all in one go. It'd be frustrating. You know, my absolute frustration I have with, like, I hate riddles. I hate... I firmly believe that...
Oh, your
you
least
cannot,
favorite one.
You cannot get a riddle. You can only have a riddle... You can only ever have the answer told to you, and then you then become the person who tells the riddle. No one's ever guessed a riddle correctly, I don't think. Because especially those lateral thinking ones where they're sort of like, where it's sort of like a man dies on an aeroplane, but he wasn't actually got on the aeroplane. How is this possible? You go, oh, he was able to change his height whenever... And you go, no. No, but if I have this hateful person in my head that I invented that I think I've told you about before. They live in my brain, and it's that stupid riddle that you got like smugly told as a kid of like, there's a person in a room, there's a circular room, there's nothing in the room, and the person escapes. How do they escape? And it's like, well, you know, they... rub their
they shout until they're hoarse, and
they rub their hands until their hands are sore, and then they use the saw to cut the table in half. They use the two, but the idea that you pitch this riddle to someone who's never heard the riddle before and you go, how do they get out? And the person's like, if it was me, I guess I'd rub my hands together until they were sore, and then I'd use the saw to saw the table in half, and then I'd use the two halves to make a hole, and I'd use the hole to climb out the window. I guess I'd do that. If someone gets it, you'd send them to the hospital immediately. You go, why is your brain working like that?
I shot till my voice was hoarse. I fucked the horse. I stay in prison and fucking and eating the horse until I get released.
But what's weird is if whenever someone told you that riddle, when they go, how did he get out? You go, oh, he can walk through walls. And I go, no, he can't. You go, why is your one more realistic? Okay, so this Friday, so if you're listening on Friday, it will be there. I'm doing a show in April at the Bloomsbury. It was my last tour show, which the tour finished earlier on this year, but I'm going to be filming it, and it'll be the last time I perform it. So that goes on sale this Friday, so it'd be lovely to have you there listening. And then on the 15th, so middle of next week on Wednesday, my Radio 4 stand-up series starts. So that's on every Wednesday for 4 weeks from 6:30 p.m.
That's great. Okay, so 15th of November, that's mm-hmm. Radio 4 series.
That's Radio 4.
So listen to that. Mm-hmm. And then when in April is this filming?
This is April the 5th, I believe, and it's at the Bloomsbury in London.
Lovely. So go and see Glenn at the Bloomsbury Theatre in April in London next year. And you'll know the Bloomsbury Theatre because it's where Bud Pod Live Smelly Crapmas is happening. That is on the 15th of December, so... go see all of those wonderful things. Thanks very much, Glenn. I'll quote unquote see you next week.
See you next week. Thank you so much for having me. Honestly, it's been a pleasure.
Pleasure, man. Bye bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.